Bootstrapping BizWiz. Case study written by Greg Fisher, senior lecturer at the Gordon Institute of Business Science, part of the University of Pretoria. Andrew Abdo stared out of the window of the 7-4 jet, contemplating how he could market and commercialize the BizWiz board game he had created. He was returning to Johannesburg after using the game as an educational tool at a camp for accounting students in the Eastern Cape. They had loved playing the game and indicated to him that they had learned a great deal. Comments on the feedback forms were extremely positive. It was fantastic. Having it will help us have a better understanding of accounting and how business operates and how to decide which decisions to take. It boosted our passion for accounting, were two of the comments. See Exhibit 4 for all the comments relating to the use of the BizWiz accounting game at the accounting camp. Andrew was certain that he had created a great product, but was uncertain of how to market it. He had invested almost all of his personal funds and a great deal of time into the development of a prototype of the game that he had now proved worked. He needed to work out how to turn the prototype into a product that would create a sustainable business. The idea. Andrew had come up with the concept of creating a board game while having breakfast with his friend Dean. The game would enable people to learn and practice basic accounting skills in a fun, interactive way. His friend, who was a lecturer at a local university, mentioned how difficult it was to make financial accounting interesting and practical for students, particularly non-financial students. In the discussion that followed, Andrew suggested to Dean that he should get the students to play Monopoly and keep accounting records while playing the game. Initially, they got very excited about the prospect of playing Monopoly in the classroom, but after discussing it further, realized that Monopoly would not generate all the necessary transactions and events to reinforce and illustrate the basic principles of accounting. It was at that point that Andrew realized that there was room in the market for an educational board game that could simulate the business environment by requiring participants to run a business, make business decisions, and keep accounting records for the business. He initially called the concept Phenopoly, for lack of a better name. Andrew's intuition told him that Phenopoly, if properly created, could radically enhance the development of accounting and business decision-making skills of people at various levels, from students to managers in South Africa and possibly even abroad. He decided to refine the idea and create a prototype. Andrew Abdo. Andrew is a qualified chartered accountant. He did a Bachelor of Business Science at the University of Cape Town and then moved to Johannesburg to join Deloitte in order to complete his training contract. While completing his training contract in the financial institution services team at Deloitte, he requested to be involved in the training and development of new recruits. He soon realized he had a passion and a flair for helping other people learn and was enticed to stay on with the firm in their group human resources and development department after completing his training contract. His role in the group human resources and development department was to create and manage a number of training programs for audit trainees in the organization. He was highly successful in this role, applying an innovative, experiential approach to learning and working very hard to ensure that everything ran smoothly. After 18 months in the human resource department at Deloitte, Andrew decided it was time to look for new challenges. He had gained some valuable skills in the area of human resource development and still had a solid financial grounding as a result of the auditing experience he had gained as a trainee. He decided to combine this experience and become an independent consultant, developing and delivering training programs in the area of finance and accounting. He found it relatively easy to find clients and was soon working extremely hard as an independent consultant. As a consultant, he came to realize that his economic driver for success was time, and he only had 24 hours in one day. He reflected that the inherent limitation of a lecture-based offering is that it is a time-based service. The constraint for any consultancy that has its business model based on charging time is that it is limited by the fundamental constraint of only 24 hours in a day. Exhibit 1 contains a breakdown of Andrew's sources of revenue in his first year as an independent consultant. Andrew examined the different business models for a consultancy type organization to explore how he could grow his revenue through his research, discovered that the traditional growth model in the consulting type of businesses is to either increase the premium charge per hour as reputation and brand develops, or increase the number of people charging to clients, as he puts it. He started asking himself if and how he could implement either of these two growth strategies, but also began considering whether he could adjust his business model to get away from just charging for time. It was during this period that the accounting game concept emerged, building on the Phenopoly idea. Andrew started playing with ideas to explore whether he could make the game work. He spent time thinking about the types of events that would be required to create realistic accounting scenarios. He wandered through Reggie's and Toys R Us looking at board games on the shelves, trying to understand how they worked from the descriptions and pictures on the box. He invited friends with an accounting background around to his house to play Monopoly and discuss how Monopoly could be changed to create a more meaningful learning experience. Andrew then sat down with a blank piece of paper in front of him and started sketching the game board and writing out business events that could create useful accounting transactions. He slowly realized that he would need different categories of events, from macro or market-based events that would affect everyone playing the game, to micro or business events that would affect just the business in question, investment opportunities that would require a business decision to be made, and disaster events that would create problems for the business in question. Over time, he created a database of events that would fall into one of these categories. As the game developed, these events were turned into cards and the cards were color-coded. He also created four different businesses, a farming business, a combined bakery and coffee retailer, a construction company, and an IT services company. He drew up a starting income statement and balance sheet for each of these companies and experimented with Microsoft Excel to create an electronic version of the proposed game. The development of the game chewed up a great deal of his time. Andrew realized that the developments of the game would require a small cash investment to create game cards, game boards, and score sheets, but more importantly, it would take a substantial investment of time for him, and time was money. He thus considered getting a loan to tide him over while he was developing the game, but decided that there was a more interesting and lucrative way to finance the development of this product. He had a friend, Craig, who worked for Barclays Africa Training and Development Department. Craig suggested that Andrew approach Barclays Africa with the idea of creating an accounting game to be integrated into their in-house finance for non-financial accountants course that they run throughout Africa. They liked the idea, and he negotiated that they would pay for a portion of the development costs of the game and have joint ownership of the intellectual property once it was developed. He knew that they would only use the game for internal purposes. They were not interested in commercializing board games. Barclays therefore paid him to develop the game, and in the process of developing the game for Barclays, he created two versions, one for the bank's purposes using their branding and meeting their requirements, and another for commercial purposes. He thus did not have to raise any other outside funding to develop the game. The name. Andrew got the opportunity to use the game on the Finance for Non-Financial program with the Barclays Legal Department in Johannesburg. None of them were accountants, and yet they took to the game quickly and got a great deal of enjoyment in playing it, while at the same time developing and reinforcing the accounting fundamentals that they had learnt on the course. The legal people assured Andrew that the game had potential and suggested that he do whatever necessary to protect the intellectual property encompassed in this game. Andrew looked at the intellectual property issue briefly and then got distracted with making minor adjustments to the cards and the events based on the feedback he received from the Barclays legal department. He was now more confident than ever that he had a product that he could attempt to sell more broadly, but he did not have a good name. While on his way to Namibia for a holiday with a group of friends, he issued the tour party with a challenge to find a name for his game. During the 9-hour car trip to Namibia, one of his close friends came up with the name BizWiz. It was short, catchy, and rolled off the tongue beautifully. It reflected the business orientation of the game and suggested specialist skills development. The word wizard had a ring to it that he thought would appeal to young people. It was just right, and from that point on, the game was called BizWiz, recalls Andrew, and added, "I still owe my friend a dozen beers for coming up with such a good name." Testing the product. Andrew had seen his board game work on the one occasion at Barclays, but he felt that he needed more confirmation of its efficacy before he launched a broad-based marketing plan to sell the product. He did the following to further experiment with the game. Firstly, he gave the game to an ex-colleague, Glynis, who was running an orientation program at a small auditing firm in Johannesburg. He asked his friend to use the game as part of the program and to give him feedback on how easy or difficult it was to facilitate the game and how effective it was in reinforcing fundamental accounting concepts. He took the game to the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants to see whether there would be any opportunities to use the game within their structures. They loved the concept and asked me to put a proposal together to use the game on a series of 6 accounting camps for previously disadvantaged accounting students at university, says Andrew. He quickly generated a proposal, see Exhibit 3 for a copy of the proposal, and sent it off to SAICA. Soon after receiving the proposal, they accepted and gave him the dates for the 6 accounting camps at which he could run the game as part of the program. The students on the first accounting camp in the Eastern Cape gave the game a rating of 4.1 out of 5, 82%, in the course evaluation, and their comments relating to the game were exceptionally positive. The feedback from Glynis and the students in the Eastern Cape proved to be very helpful for testing the game. He used the insight and feedback from these interventions to make more changes and was then certain he had a product that worked well. The testing of the game through these mechanisms did, however, highlight a number of things that must be considered when using the game as a learning tool. Firstly, participants needed a basic understanding of accounting before starting to play the game. It must therefore be used with current accounting students or those who have been through an accounting course. Secondly, the game needs to be facilitated by a person who understands accounting. Thirdly, the game takes a long time to play. It must be played for at least 4 hours to be effective. Andrew sipped on the Coke that he had ordered from the air hostess, but felt tense as there were so many challenges that he was grappling with. Where is the market for the game, he asked. Is it in schools? Is it universities? Is it corporate organizations? How could he reach the market with virtually no marketing budget? Should he hire someone to sell the game? What should he charge clients to buy a copy of the game? Life was so much easier in the calm waters of the corporate world. Questions to consider. Review the product development process for BizWiz. What worked well and where could Andrew have done things differently to improve the process? Discuss Andrew's financing mechanism. What are the criteria for making a financing mechanism such as this work? What other financing options did he have and what are the advantages and disadvantages of each? Discuss how Andrew should market BizWiz in order to maximize the opportunity. How can Andrew protect the intellectual property encompassed in this game?